began this year, we began it on the theme of change. And I've said this before, and it goes into it again, that change isn't change until there's change. I know that's really deep, but change isn't change until there's changed. It's like, I'm sorry isn't I'm sorry until the behavior changes, right? Right? I mean, I'm sorry. Well, enough with your sorry. Just do something different, right? But change isn't change until there's change. Sometimes change is brought to us because of circumstances that are outside of our control. You know, we lose a loved one. Something happens. You know, somebody plows into our car. Something happens, and change happens because of that, and we have no control over that. But this year specifically, and we've gone through months of different things, and Charles, if you could pull up that roadmap to change. We started out with discovery. It's, God, show me my heart. What's in my heart? What is it, Lord, that you specifically want me to work on? Right? Because God is a personal God. Did you know that? God speaks to you all the time, but are we listening? Right? And like I'm saying, I've heard God's voice, but I've never heard an audible voice. I've heard God speak to me, but I've never really had an experience where I see this vision or angels or anything like that. It's that still small voice on the inside. When I get quiet, He speaks to me through my thoughts. In other words, He brings thoughts to me that aren't mine, right? And when I get quiet, He does that. So discovery, it's like, Lord, what do you want me to change? What is it is my goal? Because, you know, it's interesting, because if you don't have a goal set, then you never know when you hit it, right? But if you have a goal, you can plan for the goal. You can do it. So the first step was discovery, and then the plan. In other words, I want to change something, but God, how is that going to come to pass? What's the plan in place? A goal will never be achieved until you have a plan to get there, right? Like, I want to get a degree. Well, have you signed up for school? No. But I really want to get a degree. But what school are you going to? I don't know. At some point, you have to put a plan in place, right? And then the next step was implement the plan. Well, you know, I'd really like to go to Olympic College first, and then I'd like to go to University of Washington. But have you signed up yet? And it's like that with the Lord. It's like the Lord wants you to change your attitude, maybe. None of you in here need an attitude adjustment, but I do from time to time. But or the Lord might want you to be in better shape. Or the Lord might want you to be more friendly. The Lord might want you to do something, right? And so you have to implement the plan. And then you have to make yourself accountable to the plan. And sometimes we need other people to help us become accountable. Have you ever asked somebody to be accountable, you know, to make you accountable to them? And then they resent you for speaking into their lives? Anybody been there but me? So what we're talking about this year is change. But this month, we've gone 12 months with different themes. But this month is, look what the Lord has done. And we're going to speak about that a little bit today. The importance of rehearsing what God has done in your life. Amen? And let me just read this verse. It's found in Revelation 12, and many of you know it, but we're going to start in verse 10. It said, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ has come for the accuser of the brethren, who accused them before our God day and night and has been cast down.'" You know, there's a day when that one that accuses you all the time, that voice in your head that's always telling you that you'll never make it, that you're not enough, there's a day that that voice is going to be silenced once and for all. But listen to this in verse 11. It says, "And they overcame him." Who's that? The accuser. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that his time is short. I want to tell you, his time is coming to an end. But our time, those of us who know Christ, our time is going to be forever. But the Bible said to them, it said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That verse is so strong and so powerful for us today. All of us who've come to Christ have had the blood of the Lamb applied to our hearts. In other words, his sacrifice for sin made us right with God. Nothing that we've done. It's not my living right. It's not my saying enough prayers. It's not my being in church enough. It's not anything on the outside that I've done. It's when I came to that decision that my life was kind of messed up. And the way I was living it wasn't quite right. And that God, if there is a God, if you're out there, would you reveal yourself to me? And then somebody came to me and said, Jesus loves you. I knew all about Jesus growing up, but he said, Jesus loves you. And then at that point, I said, God, if there is a God, would you begin to speak to me? And he did. And I gave my heart to Jesus and everything changed. So the blood of the Lamb was applied to my heart. But living my life for him, I have to keep applying the blood. What do I mean? When I don't feel good enough or feel like I've done enough or we're worthy enough or life is just kicking me in the rear, I need to come before him and say, Lord, it's not about me. It's not about what I've done. I can't be good enough for you, Lord. I can't do enough for you, but I come back to the blood of the Lamb. I come back to the sacrifice that Jesus made for me. I come back to the fact that it's him who is working in me to complete the very work that he's done for me. Isn't that awesome? So it's all about him. But we still have to give our will to it. God wants to change. He wants us to go from glory to glory. He came that we might have life and have it abundantly. But we've got to change, right? But when we have changed, we need to testify of how good God is. We need to testify why, and we're going to get into this some more, but we need to testify about what he's done to remind ourselves that change has happened.
Yes.
Because oftentimes when change is happening, you don't notice it. And if you don't recognize it, then you go, well, what's happened? Well, I mean, you know, but others can see it, even if you can't. It's like having a child that you're acquainted with, right? And you see them from time to time, but you haven't seen them for a long time, maybe a year or two. And they were this tall. And what happened to you? Because you see the change in them. But if you're living with them day to day, you might not recognize the change as much, right? So sometimes we have to rehearse what God has done in us so that we see the change and feel the change. I'm so proud of our team and the church that's here, because at the beginning of the year in our leadership things, we identified a change that we wanted to make. And that change was, it seems really simple, but we wanted people to feel more welcomed and more friendly when they come through the door. So we made that a goal of ours, and we started putting things into place to make that happen. And I can tell you from the word of the testimony of people that have come to me and talked to me about it, I just felt so welcome when I came into this place. I just felt like it was a place where I could belong. See, we set a goal, but we implemented a plan. But now I have to tell you and acknowledge the plan is working. The plan, here's the testimony. People have come to me out of the blue without me asking for it or searching for it or pulling it out of them. And they said, you know, we just so felt so welcome when we came there. Right? Isn't that awesome? See, so that's part of the process. But it says that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Because the accuser of the brethren will always come to you and say, well, you haven't done enough. God's not pleased with you. God's mad at you. God, you know, all of those things. And if he doesn't do it, he'll use somebody else to do it. But we have to recognize in ourselves, look what the Lord has done. Look at the Lord. Paul said this. He said, he was talking to the church, I think it was at Colossae. He said, I know that that very God who came to you through my gospel, that very God that brought you the revelation that even the Gentiles were accepted into the covenant because of the blood of Jesus. That very gospel, the same one who brought you that gospel, the same one who sent his son to die for you, that same one will complete the work that he started in you. Woo! Glory to God. So it's like that bumper sticker said, well, you know, watch out because God's not finished with me yet. Right? God's not finished with me yet. But we want to be able to testify. We want to be able to proclaim. We want to be able to brag on what God has done. Right? So the whole purpose of that is so that A, I can remind myself of what God has done. B, I can look at where I've come from. Where I've come from. It's interesting, and I hope she doesn't mind. She's sitting in here. But when Rita first came to us, she had been 30 years as a drug addict. And Lila and I, we saw a picture of Rita and Marcy. Well, I think I showed that to you Wednesday. Worshiping the Lord. And that was about a year after she'd come. Because she came to us, we were still in the gym. And that was, we left there about 28 years ago. But she came to us and you could tell, you know, that the years of addiction, what it had done to her. But in 1 year's time, she looked like a completely different person. Completely different. God had restored her. God had blessed her. God had touched her. Right? So look what the Lord has done. And for us, we need to come into the place where that is our testimony is something that we talk about. And again, it's not bragging on us. It's bragging on Him. Rehearsing the testimony enforces the victory. Let me say that again. Rehearsing the testimony enforces the victory or establishes the victory. Look what the Lord has done. I can testify of how good God is because this is what He's done for me. Let me tell you a story. This was years ago. There was a man who was working in a fabricating warehouse, and they were building these tanks. And anybody that's worked in this industry kind of knows that if you're inside the tank welding or doing something, you need somebody outside being the watch. They're the watch, right? And so this fellow was sitting outside. He was the watch, and the guy inside, this happened to be in Tulsa, and the guy inside was all day just ragging on Oral Roberts. Just how bad Oral Roberts was and how money-grabbing he was and all the things that were wrong with Oral Roberts. And so he listened to it all morning and through lunch. And then at about the mid-break, about 2 o'clock, the guy comes out of the tank and he starts to rag in again. He says, well, he says, I don't know. He said, everything that you're saying may be true, but this is one thing I know. When I was born with a club foot. And my mom took me to Oral Roberts' meeting. And when he prayed for me, my club foot became whole. And from that day to this, I've walked. End of story. Because it wasn't the power of Oral Roberts, it was the power of God that touched the man. It's not necessarily us that makes the change, but it's the power of God in us and through us that makes the change. And we need to make our testimony known. Don't ever, ever, ever think that your testimony doesn't have significance. And others need to hear your testimony. Why? Because you're giving credit to God for what He's done. Come on, you're acknowledging God. You're not saying, look at me. You're saying, look at Him. Right? The testimony. Let's look at a couple of different verses and we'll see this come to pass. In Psalm 136. It's interesting because back when Moses was giving the law and all of the instructions to the children of Israel, he was very specific that you teach your children the things that I've done. Tell them about when you were in Egypt. Tell them when you came out of Egypt. Tell them that I parted the Red Sea. Tell them that I parted the Jordan Sea. Tell them about Jericho. Tell them about this. Why? Why is that necessary? Because their kids were going to have a Red Sea experience at some time. Their kids were going to come to the Jordan sometime. Their kids were going to face Jericho sometime. And they needed to have established in their heart that the same God who brought them through the Red Sea will bring them through whatever they're going through. You see, for us, our testimony, reminding ourselves of our testimony, and then bringing that testimony to somebody else's life. I may have all of the witnessing tools and all, I've been through the seminars, I know the script, I know exactly what to say, and I might know all of that, and I go out to somebody and want to just go through that rehearsed thing, and they just blow you off. But when you say, listen, I'm here in your heart, and I'm not necessarily wanting to preach to you, but I want to tell you that before I met Jesus, I asked Him into my heart. Here's where I was. Here's what he did in me. You see, your testimony is giving proof to the words that God's put in you for somebody else. Isn't that awesome? And so why did He have the children of Israel repeat this over and over again? In fact, the Feast of Israel were around that theme. So that you remember the Passover. You remember this and you remember that and you remember that. Why? What? It was to enforce in them and to enhance in them and establish in them that the God who is God is more than enough. He's El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. He is Jehovah, and He's Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. He is Jehovah Nissi, the banner that is over us. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Yeah. He is that. But He's not just that to somebody else. Because if He was it for somebody else, He can be it for you. See the importance of our testimony. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. And God uses people to do things. And Donnie was speaking of this, and it's so cool that because of COVID and things that happened, our operating budget, right? And we have many accounts, but our operating budget at the beginning of the year was about $20,000 in the hole. But it's going to be in the black very soon. Very soon. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord is doing. And why is that so important to establish in your heart? Because you're going to face something in the future. And sometimes in the future, if we don't remember what He's done, we can bog down by the enormity of the mountain that we face. Are you with me? God pulled me through this before He'll pull me through that. God did, He delivered me from this before He can deliver me from that. Right? The power of God was made alive inside of me. He can do it again. Hallelujah. Psalm 136, verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Isn't that awesome? That's an awesome statement, and we've talked a lot about that last month. "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever." We're putting God in His position. And sometimes in our lives, we need to remember who God is. Right? He's the God that I serve, the one who is Father to me. Father God is the same one that did all of these miraculous things. Why do we need that? Why do we need to rehearse that? Because that testimony will build faith inside of us that I can get through this, that I can go through this, that I will come out on the other side victorious. Amen. So it's reminding ourselves of who God and what He is. Look at this. "To Him," verse 4, "who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heaven, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who made the great lights, for His mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, His mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck Egypt, the firstborn, for His mercy endures forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endures forever." Why is that so important? Because when you're facing what you're facing today, you remember who He is and what He's done. You go, Oh, I got this. God's got this. It may not be comfortable right now. I might not be exactly where I want to be. But I'm reminding myself of who He is, what He said, and what He's going to do. I was talking with Joey earlier, and this was just brought up to me a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's so good. A lady who's been in and out of the church for a long time. She's now home with the Lord, but her name was Zoanne Wilkie, and many of you know who Zoanne is. But she had a daughter that we just love. Her name was Becky. And Becky didn't make all the greatest choices in the world. And people would ask Zoanne about Becky and maybe some of her other children. And Zoanne would say, "I just see them. I choose to see them at the finish line with Jesus." That is so good. I just see them at the finish line with Jesus. So in other words, I'm not really that focused on, although I see it, where they are right now. And many of us have children in that same category. We may not like their choices or like what they've done, or maybe they've walked away from some of the knowledge that they've been given. But don't look at them that way. Look at them at the finish line with Jesus. How can you do that? You can do that by remembering what God has done for you. I tell this to people oftentimes when their kids are just out of bounds. I say, "You know, I just know where I was before the Lord got to me." Right? And I was at the place where God, if there is a God, I don't know. But God got to me. So if God could get to me, and think of horrendous testimonies where God met somebody, you know, and if God could get to them, He can get to them. So we leave them in His hands. But remembering who He is and what He's done and what He can do can help propel you and get you through what you've done. I see miracles in the room where you shouldn't have gotten through what you've got through. And it may not have been exactly the way you planned. It might not have been, you know, just shouting victory the whole time. It might have been hard pressed on some things. But you're sitting here, you've been through, and you might still be going through, but God has been with you.
Amen.
Right? Yes. You know, just like Sharon's testimony of Chuck, and Chuck was such a good man, such a great man, and they were together, and there was always Chuck and Sharon. And to go through that and have Chuck in heaven. We know he's in heaven. He's dancing for glory. Well, you know, that's awesome for Chuck. But Sharon's still here. But I've watched God work with Sharon and provide for Sharon and bless Sharon. But Sharon needs to continue to remember that, because there's still obstacles. There's still bills. There's still things. So what I'm saying is, remembering what he's done is vital, not just for history, but for the future.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Yep. Remembering what he's done. And so singing this psalm, and just think about this. This was a psalm that was sung at different places, at different ceremonies. And I grew up Catholic. I don't know if any of you grew up Catholic. But in the Catholic Church, during the Mass, the priest would say something and we'd respond to that. The Lord be with you and also with you. And kind of that thing going back and forth, right? Well, think about this. In this particular... And brought us Israel out from among them, and the whole congregation yelling out, "For his mercy endures forever."
Right?
Right? He did these great wonders. For his mercy endures forever. What does that mean? His mercy was then, his mercy is now.
Yes.
See, it's a word of the testimony. That's who God was to our grandparents and to our great grandparents and to all of the great generals of faith. But he's the same God for me. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, so good. So good. So good. Let's go, just for sake of time, go to verse 23. For who remembered us in our lowly estate, for his mercy endures forever. Everybody in this room at one point was without Christ. That was our lowly estate. Before Jesus came into your life, before you made him the Lord of your life, and if you haven't done that, you're going to have an opportunity today to do that. Before that is your lowly estate. Why? Because the Bible says that you're without hope and without God. The Bible says that you're living in darkness, and you'll be in darkness for eternity. But once Jesus becomes Lord of your life, you're transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So I don't care how much money you have, I don't care how many cars you have, what it looks like on the outside, if the inside isn't right with God through the redemptive plan of the Lord in Jesus Christ, then you're at your lowly estate. But the moment that you give your heart to Jesus, you are absolutely delivered out of that lowly state into his presence. Isn't that awesome? So good. That's why I can say and declare that I, who, you know, that was once without Christ, has been brought to Christ. And Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for me, that I might actually become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So my testimony is, I was lost, but I'm now found. I was unrighteous, but he made me righteous. I was unholy, but he's made me holy. I was without hope, but he's given me hope. You see? Because the enemy will remind you of your failures. He'll remind you of your past. Even when you're trying to change, he'll go, "But you could be better." He'll tell you that, that's not working so good. You said you were going to do this. You said you were going to quit this. You said you were going to, and you haven't done it. You might as well give up. You need to just speak to yourself, because the devil's speaking to you in your thoughts. You just say, devil, listen to me. He who started a good work in me is going to see it through to its completion. I might have fallen down 10 times, but I'm going to get up 11 times because the Spirit of God that lives in me is causing me to rise up and become who He wants me to be. See, if you face your problems based on the circumstances that you're in without rehearsing the history of who God is, you'll feel defeated. But no matter what your problems are, no matter what situation you find yourself in, if you'll begin to think about His mercy that endures forever. His mercy. I love that. Grace and mercy is so good. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Right. But mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Hallelujah. I made a lot of mistakes, but His mercy endures forever. Right? There's so many things. Anyway, He's so good. He's so good. Verse 26 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of heaven, for His mercy endures forever." Go to Psalm 34. Back up a little bit. Hallelujah. You know, we're going to be celebrating 30 years, and that's a huge deal. And why it's a huge deal is we've seen a lot of churches come and go. We've seen a lot of, you know, people come and go and all of that. But God spoke to us many years ago to start and become this church. And He's never told us to quit that. So we've been faithful to that call, but God is the one who sustained us all these years. We've had many opportunities to stop, many opportunities to quit, many opportunities, but we heard His voice and we're continuing, right? But the celebration of 30 years is not about me. It's about God and what He's done. And really, what He's done is you. Let me say that again. What He's done is you. Yes. And some of you that aren't here. I'm looking at the past and a lot of people that maybe have gone home to be with the Lord, or like Marlene that just went home, and such a great, great testimony. So she went to sleep, her heart stopped, she went home. She's with Jesus. No more suffering. No more. But because God told us to start, she had impact on us and we had impact on her. And that's the whole story of a church. So celebrating 30 years is awesome. And again, Donnie has mentioned this, but we just want you to take this little invitation, and maybe some people you haven't seen for a while, maybe people who are in the church but aren't anymore, just say, "Hey, look, you know, you got another church. That's great. But come and celebrate with us. We'd love to see you." Amen. But look what the Lord has done. Psalm 34. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad." That is so huge. Our testimony, and look what the Lord has done, is our boasting in the Lord. And those that have a humble heart and are seeking God for anything, maybe they're a brother or sister that is discouraged right now. If their heart is right and they hear what God has done for you, you say, "Wait a minute. If God did it for them, He can do it for me." Are you with me? Or maybe a sinner, he listens, you know, heard all the tracks and read all the tracks and heard all this, but he comes to you and you say, "Well, listen, I don't know about all that. You know, that preacher might be bad and that preacher might be bad, but just let me tell you what Jesus has done in me." And He wants to have a personal relationship with you. Again, I got saved because a guy was saying, and I thought, man, this guy's really weird. But he said, "God said this and God said that and God told me this and God told me that." And I thought, this guy is either high, right? Because I probably was. That guy is either high, or is it possible that God would speak to somebody today? And that started me on the journey. I said, "God, if You speak to him, would You speak to me?" And you know what? He did. And he does. And he is still doing it. But it's because somebody's testimony of what God was doing in them that led me to Jesus. And yours is the same way. Don't ever, ever, ever discount what God has done in you. It's not without significance. And God wants you to rehearse it. Hallelujah. I sought the Lord. The song that we did sing, and it's so good. I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me out of all my fears. Tell somebody about the fears that He delivered you out of. Yeah. Right? They looked to Him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. You see, sometimes we'll be in a meeting and God's glory will be here. But we just keep that here. We don't tell our coworkers about it. We don't tell our family about it. They don't want to hear it. Who said they don't want to hear it? Who said they don't need to hear it? Even if they, poo-poo it. Right? Even if they go, I'm telling you that you're sowing a seed in them. That maybe, just maybe, God, if He speaks to them, maybe He'll speak to me. Maybe if God really shows up with His presence in their life, maybe He'll show up in my life. You see, so looking what the Lord has done and beginning to go over your testimony on a consistent basis is not just for you. It's for others too. Are you with me? Go to Philippians chapter 3 and we'll start to close with this. I don't want to lie. We could read the whole chapter, but for sake of time. Verse 3, it says, for we are of the circumcision, and that just simply means we're the ones that are separated to God, not from God, but unto God, who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. In other words, it's not about me. It's not about what I've done. But here's the testimony. It's what Jesus did. And my testimony is what Jesus did applies to me. And so then he goes on. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is by the law, blameless. But what things I gained to me, were gained to me, I have counted as loss for Christ. See, here's his testimony. This is who I was. But now there was a change, there was a switch. And that happened when he was on the road to persecute Christians, and God met him and he came to know Jesus as his Savior. He said, for indeed I count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That righteousness is not only my standard of living, but it's actually my rightness with God. I'm not right with God because of what I've done. I'm right with God because of the relationship that I have through Jesus. Verse 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfect, but I press on to lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of for me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to apprehend it, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things that are behind, I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let as many of us as are mature, having this same mind, if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, Let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note that if we who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. Many have walked whom I've told you often, and they tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross. To this end is their destruction, who God is their belly, and whose glory is in shame, who set their minds on the earthly things. For our citizenship is of heaven, which we are eagerly await the Savior of Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that we may be that we may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things to himself. Paul here is reminding everybody of where he's been, where he is, and where he's going. His testimony is such that it's going to influence others for Jesus. And what I'm telling you tonight, what I'm telling you actually this morning, is that God's pattern to use you is the same. So look what the Lord has done. Don't be afraid to give God the credit for what he's doing in your life and through you. Even in the times where you're going through a struggle. Even in the time when you're just going, oh God, this isn't very good. And somebody comes up to you, yeah, how are you getting through it? Well, I'll tell you, I don't like it. And it might not feel that great. But the same God who was with me back then is with me right now. And even though I might not feel it, but I know that he said that he would never forsake me or he would never leave me. And I know that he said through his word that I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. My testimony is this. I felt some similar things before he got me through, and he's going to get me through this. Amen? Amen. Y'all get something this morning? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. The gospel is so simple, Lord. But it takes you revealing it to the heart of man for it to take effect. And Lord, if there be any watching online, if there be any even in the room that have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you might have been in church, you might have been to church, you might have, done some good things. But the Bible says that our good things are like filthy rags to the Lord. They just don't compare. The only way that you can be right with God is making Jesus the Lord of your life. In other words, you recognize that I'm a sinner and I need somebody to help me get to God. Jesus was that somebody. He is the Messiah. He was dead, but now he's alive. And he wants you to come to him just the way you are. He wants to change your eternity this morning. How do I do that? It's pretty simple, but it takes everything. In your heart, you have to say, I am lost and away from God. But I believe in my heart, and so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus was the Messiah. He paid the price for my sins. So, Lord, I just take you into my heart, and I ask you to become Lord of my life. What does that mean? I'm turning my life over to you, and what you say from now on goes. If there's anybody in the room, everybody just bow your head. This is just between you and God right now. Is a sign that I need God. I want God. I'm asking Jesus to come into my heart right now. And you may have done this before, but you haven't been walking with him, and you just want to return this morning. If that's you, anywhere in the room, or anybody watching online, just by faith, just raise your hand up to Jesus right now. Come on, I see that hand. Anybody else? I need Jesus. I want Jesus. Yeah, I see that hand. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. All right. Now listen, we're all going to pray this together. And the prayer is not magical, but if you'll give it your heart, you'll be changed forever this morning. Pray this with me. Say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I recognize who you are. You're holy. You can't have sin around you. So I need to acknowledge that I'm sinful. And I ask Jesus into my heart. I take him as my Savior. And right now I lay my life down for him. And the life that I have left, with your help, I'm going to live for you. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. And God, because you've raised Jesus from the dead, I am raised with him also. Thank you, Lord, that I'm forgiven. Thank you that my sins are done away with. Thank you that you made me right with you. Speak to me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. If you did that, God did something on the inside of you. Just keep coming. Get a Bible. Start reading it. Come to church because we love you. Amen. Amen. If I could have the worship team come up, we'll close with the word.